Well, we've been talking this whole sacred series, and we've been talking about what is the definition of sacred, and it simply means set apart, and it's something set apart for God and to God. And I'm kind of answering my next question here, but there's always two big questions that we have when you hear something labeled as sacred, and that is you ask, who set it apart? The second question is what is it set apart for? And so we've looked at already at the church and marriage and seen that God has set those things apart. He's the one who did it. And they're set apart for specific reasons, union with Christ. And now we want to look at today, and I want to talk to you about baptism and how it is sacred or set apart. If you're new to coming to church and checking out the Christian faith, I know that maybe there are things that sometimes you kind of scratch your head and go, what in the world was that about? What is going on here? And that really, today, what I'm going to be sharing with you is really going to be great for you to hear, because I'm really going to be talking about some basics with the faith. And also, because I know that sometimes no one ever sits down and explains to you some of these things that everyone assumes that you know. And so I'm glad to do this, and I'm very excited to talk about this. Now, and I imagine for some of you who maybe are not familiar with church, that it's a little bit like, you know, if you've never been to a football game, and you show up and you watch this game, and there's people going everywhere on the field, and there's people running off back and forth, and they run plays, and there's different positions, and wow. And then the strangest thing of all, at the end of a big win, there's these two guys who have been sitting on the bench who have done nothing, and they grab a 5-gallon water cooler, and then they go and they dump it on a coach, and like the coach is happy. And you're going, what in the world was that about? And you kind of go, you know, how did that get started? What was that for? And like nobody can really tell you, or nobody stops and explains to you. But the one thing that everybody does know is that it's part of a big win. It's part of a big win. And so one of the things I know that probably you assume and maybe know is that baptism of a Christ follower is part of a big win with Christ. And so I know that maybe you got that much down, but I want you to know that there's a little more, and I'd love to share it with you today. The other thing, I know that there's those of you here who have been Christ followers for a while, and maybe you've been churchgoers for a while. And my hope for you today is that your heart will be reawakened. Reawaken to the idea of following Jesus, your Lord and Savior. And Lord, that you'll also be awakened to the thought that baptism isn't just a religious act. That it's really something that is an act of faith. And I know that especially for some of you who may have been in evangelical circles, like you go to a Billy Graham crusade, or maybe you're going to the Ignite youth evangelism thing. A lot of times, they don't talk about baptism at those things. They share the gospel message, but they stop at a certain point and don't tell about baptism because of unity's sake, because there's a lot of churches working together, and each of the churches may have a different view of how you prepare someone for baptism or what you teach exactly about it, or even the mode of baptism. And so sometimes people in an unintentional way may think that baptism isn't important, but that's not the truth. It's very important. So again, I'm excited to share with you and remind you of the significance of baptism and what Christ meant by it. So let's move on with this. In the gospel accounts, we get a few glances of Jesus as a baby, when God is come in flesh to earth. And we just get a few glimpses there at the beginning of the Gospels. And then we get one little snapshot of Jesus when he's around 12 years old, going to the temple, and he's baffling the teachers of the law and asking questions and answering questions. And then the scriptures are silent. We don't see or hear anything of Jesus until he's around 30 years old. And we have this curiosity of between 12 and 30. What happened? What was going on in Jesus' life? What was he doing? And we just don't get anything. But when Jesus does emerge back onto the scene, and it's time for him to do what he's come to do, how does he start out the whole thing? He goes and he gets baptized. He goes to John the Baptist down at the Jordan River, And he says, I want you to baptize me. And as Sue explained, John objects, but Jesus is baptized, and then the heavens open up, and it says that the Spirit came down like a dove and descended upon Jesus. And then it says that the voice of the Father from heaven, and I can't do it as cute as Sue does when she tries to do a big man voice or a God voice. I just sound dumb when I do it. So this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. Just kind of I'm proud of you. And, the interesting thing is that he really hadn't done his mission yet. But God was still proud of him. God still loved him. And isn't that the characteristic of God's love? It isn't based on what we do, is it? But the strange thing about all this is that Jesus didn't need to get baptized. And that's what John the Baptist was trying to point out. So, Jesus, he doesn't need the sign of salvation in his life. He doesn't need this outward sign of the new covenant for his life. He is salvation. He is the sign of the covenant. He is the new covenant, So why was Jesus getting baptized? Well, Jesus explains to John that he's doing it to fulfill all righteousness. That Jesus was giving us a picture of what his life is all about and is going to be about. I'm going to die and I'm going to resurrect. Into the water, death. Out of the water, resurrection. And basically Jesus was saying, because I died and resurrected, you can too. Now 3 years after this baptism, Jesus suffered, died, and resurrected. And before ascending into heaven, he commanded his apostles to go and make followers, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he taught them. And for someone like me, that's all I need. That's all I need. Jesus, you went and did that, and I'm following you, so I'm going to do what you did. Oh, and then you commanded me to be baptized. Okay, I'm there. I'm doing it. For someone like me who's very simple, that's all I need. But you know what? I know everyone's not like me. And God knows it too. And so he's very kind, and he's given us more details about this whole thing called baptism. Now, Jesus started this. That's the main thing I want you to get and understand here. This is not some dead religious act by a dead institution. People use the word institution for the church when they're mad at the church. Church is really family, the family of God. It is the body of Christ. It is people. It is living and active. It is growing and advancing. So it is the kingdom of God. That's what it is. So, but when Jesus is the one who started this. It wasn't started by some churchman wearing robes a million years ago, all right? This was done and started by him, and he's the one who set this apart for us. But what is it set apart for? And that's what I want to kind of talk about right now. Baptism is sacred. Remember, translate that word, set apart. Baptism is set apart because it's the sign of the new covenant. And what do I mean by that, by new covenant? I'm simply saying that it's God's promise of salvation through Jesus. That is the new covenant. God's deal with people. His deal through his son. It's a symbol of an outward act that points to the reality of what's happened inside you because of trust in Jesus Christ. It's an outward symbolic act that points to the inward reality of what's happened within you because of trust in Jesus Christ. It's a symbolic act of entering into the fullness of the kingdom of God and cleansing by sin. Now, when someone in Scripture says, be baptized and wash your sins away, they don't mean that literally your sins are going to go floating on the water down the river, all right? It's more what Peter describes happened with Noah. And Peter puts it this way. He says, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter is saying that it's not the water that saves you, but Jesus has saved you like Noah's ark through the water. You have been transported into a world brand new and clean. That's what's going on. See, there's nothing special about Asheville tap water. In fact, some of you might have some real objections to Asheville tap water. But there is something special about trusting in Jesus. It's called faith. It's called faith. People sometimes have gotten into the habit of saying that baptism is an act of obedience. Doesn't really say that in scriptures. Doesn't really say that. Really, what you see described in the Bible is that baptism is an act of faith. Faith being trust or belief accompanied by action. Trust or belief accompanied by action. That is faith. And baptism is an act of faith. If you go through Acts, which actually is named that because it's acts of faith done by the apostles and the followers of Christ. And when you look through there, just going through it from chapter to chapter, you'll see that belief always precedes someone being baptized. I know that sounds simple, and like a lot of you, oh, I got that, I understand that, but really, no, that's really what happened. Acts 2:41, those who accepted the message were then baptized. Acts 8:35 through 36, the Ethiopian, here's the good news about Jesus, and then he says, hey, here's some water, why can't I be baptized? Acts 9:18, after Saul meets Jesus and gets instructions from Ananias, he's then baptized. Acts 10:44 and verses 47, 48, Cornelius and his family and friends hear the gospel, receive the Spirit of Jesus, and then they're immediately baptized. Acts 16:14 through 15, Lydia, she hears the gospel, and the scriptures say that she hears it and her heart is open to it. And then what does she do? She goes and gets baptized, all in her household. Acts 16, verses 31 through 33, a jailer asks, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas say to him, believe in Jesus. Then the jailer goes and gets baptized. Acts 18:8 in Corinth, a Jewish leader and many other Corinthians hear and believe in the Lord. Then they are baptized. You know, I could go on and on through the rest of the book of Acts, but you get the picture. Belief before baptism. That's the order. That's the way it works. If there's no faith in your heart, you're just getting wet. You're just getting wet. Now, baptism is sacred because it is an act of faith, belief plus action. Now, this is why I encourage those who have been baptized or sprinkled as infants to be baptized again. It's not that that wasn't special or sacred, that moment. It was, but it was sacred and special to your parents. It wasn't sacred or special to you because your will, your act of faith wasn't involved. And so that's why I encourage, make baptism your act of faith, not your parents' act of faith. Now, we've got to understand that Jesus is the one that we trust for salvation. He's the one who imparts salvation by faith. Life is not imparted by water. All right? Now, even when we understand that, we understand that it's faith in Jesus, doesn't mean that we fully understand the act of baptism itself. This symbolic act of faith called baptism is still mysterious. It still is. Now, I know some of us, because we say it's a symbol or an outward sign, we blow it off and we think, oh, there's no power or there's nothing special to it. But I would beg to differ. And looking in the scriptures, when you look, you see something totally different. Look at an example in the Old Testament of Moses. There's a battle going on with the Israelites, and Moses is told, hold up your hands during the battle that's going on all day, and as long as your hands are up, the Israelites are going to win. But if your hands go down, the Israelites start losing. And in fact, that's what happened. And so Aaron and Hur, Moses' brother and then another helper, came along and they stood on either side of Moses and they held up his arms the whole day so that they wouldn't go down and so the Israelites could win the battle. That was a symbolic act, but it had some power to it. We don't understand it. God was doing something. But think of another time. Think of God asking the Israelites to march around the walls of Jericho, a symbolic act that really seemed kind of silly. I mean, what does walking around in a circle have to do with bringing down walls and destroying them? I don't know, but God did it, didn't he? because it was an act of faith by the Israelites to walk around that seven times. And then you think of Naaman. He's told that if he'll go dip himself in the Jordan seven times, he'll be healed of his leprosy. And Naaman, he gets all in a huff about it because he's like, Jordan River, that's just a dirty old river like the French Broad. And I'm not going to go down that thing when I got beautiful rivers up in Damascus. And then his servants convince him. They said, look, if this prophet would have told you to do something great and flashy and say, be healed in the name of God, you know, or to stand on top of a mountain and do some, you know, dance or something, he would have told you to do that. But he didn't tell you to do that. God told you to go dip yourself in this dirty river seven times. Just do it. And so Naaman goes, and it's not on the fifth time that he comes up that he's healed. It's not on the sixth time that he comes up and is healed. It's on the seventh time he comes up, and his skin is clean and new like a baby's, it says. What does that have to do with being healed with leprosy? I don't know. It was a symbolic act. God asked him to do it, and it was an act of faith, and God worked in it, and there was power, and there was something special. It was set apart. So all these things were accompanied by God's power, but God asked his people to do a symbolic act of faith in him. Baptism is sacred because it's a symbolic act of faith in God. Now, baptism is also set apart because when we're baptized into Jesus, it's being baptized into the name that can break the powers of darkness over a believer. You believe it? 1 Corinthians 13, Paul explains that when the Israelites were led by God to pass through the Red Sea, that they were baptized into Moses. What in the world does that mean? I mean, when you first read that, you might just not understand it, and so you just read past it. But really, think about that. When the Israelites were fleeing the Egyptians and going through the Red Sea, why were they fleeing? Someone was chasing them, right? It was Pharaoh and all his army. And when they got to the other sea, when they passed through, what happened? Pharaoh and his army were cut off by the sea. You see, they were no longer hounded by their former ruler. And from that point on, they were led by their new leader, Moses. Now, they were followers of Moses before. I mean, they'd followed him to that point. But it was at the Red Sea that Paul says that their baptism came. And that was how they were baptized into Moses. And that's what it means. In the same way, we are baptized into Jesus and into his name. And we are giving allegiance to a new commander and to a new king. We come out from under our old spiritual pharaohs, and we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Baptism is sacred because it's the burial of the old life, and it's resurrection of the new life in Christ. You know, often at baptisms, you'll hear me say this. I'll quote Romans chapter 6 because I believe it's the most accurate and beautiful picture that we have of baptism. And it says that those who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death. In fact, it says this. Well, it's up on the screens. We were therefore buried with him and through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. If we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. You see, baptism reflects and proclaims that we are united with Christ. Now, I know that this church has some similarities with that first church in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Here in this gathering and in that gathering, there was a mix of people. There was a mix of people who believed and some people who were not yet believers. And in that first church, God would work belief in their hearts. And then the first thing they did after belief was worked in their hearts, they would go and be baptized because they wanted people to know that I'm dying to my old way of life and I'm a new person in Christ now. This is my proclamation. I am united with Jesus. Now, that's why at Highland, we encourage people to be baptized as soon as they believe. And the form of baptism that we practice is total immersion, being submerged underneath the water, because it is a picture of totally giving ourselves to Christ. Totally giving ourselves to Christ, a plunge. And in fact, the Greek word baptizo means to submerge underwater. With Jesus and with the Ethiopian, each of them, when they were baptized, we get a description of them going down into the water and coming up out of the water, it says. The form of immersion also makes some real sense in just representing that passage in Romans 6. in the fullness of that symbolism of being buried with Christ and being resurrected with Christ. Because, again, you're totally like under the ground in a sense, and you're not breathing when you're underwater. It's like you're dead. What do you do when you first get up out of the water? You suck in some air, and like you're alive again, like Christ did when he was first resurrected and breathed in that first breath to his lungs. So at Highland, there's another thing, is though this is not essential, we encourage being baptized with believers around to witness your baptism. And again, that's not essential. And the scriptures say, though, that we are baptized into Christ. But being baptized into Christ and being baptized in one spirit means that we are in the body of Christ. You are being connected. I know as Americans and being independent, we always think this is an individual choice. Well, it is an individual choice, but you're choosing as an individual to join and be a part of something larger than yourself when you say yes to Jesus Christ. You're saying yes to the body of Christ. You know, it's kind of like that silly saying, you know, when you say yes to your bride or to your groom, that you're also saying yes to their family. Yeah, sorry. You're saying yes to the church, too, the body of Christ. When you say yes to Jesus, you're being baptized into the body. And so when you become a part of the body, when you hurt, we hurt. When you rejoice, we rejoice. We're together. So baptism is the welcome into the body of Christ. So it's good to have those people representing the body there with you at your baptism. Again, it's not necessarily the jailer that was mentioned in the scriptures in Acts earlier. It was in the middle of the night. It was just him and his household that were baptized. It wasn't the whole church there. So again, it's not essential, but I encourage people to do it. Again, it's a picture being surrounded by these faces. They're going to walk with you in Christ. So the other thing that people really have a question about is this idea of being rebaptized. And I know that you know, some of this is sometimes it may be dealing with doubt. And really, well, just let me say this. I know that there's only one instance in the scriptures of a group of people being baptized and rebaptized, and it's in Acts 19. And some people were not entering into a covenant based on the work of Jesus at the cross. They were doing it for some other reason. And I won't get into that now. But their first baptism had no personal belief in what Jesus did for them. But then they came to know, and they did have faith, and then they were immediately baptized. And that's what the apostles instructed them to do. Now, I know some of us here were baptized when we were quite young. And we had an elementary understanding of Jesus and what he did at the cross. And later, as we got older and had a fuller understanding of what he did, there may have been this question of, was that for real? Well, I just want to ask you, as a 7 or 8 year old, did you believe as much as a 7 or 8 year old could believe in Jesus? If yes, then that's solid. That's solid. That's real. 7 and 8 year olds are real people too. They have minds, they think, and they can understand the gospel, can't they? They do. But then, if your baptism in the past, and you're reflecting on that, if your baptism in the past was just going through the motions, like there really wasn't any real belief there on your part, then I would say, yeah, you need to consider being baptized again. Or maybe it's really for the first time, because there's belief now. So, let me just sum up what's been said here. Baptism is sacred because Jesus did it as an example for us, and he commanded his followers to do the same. Baptism is sacred because it is the sign of the new covenant. Baptism is set apart because it's an act of faith in Jesus, pointing to the reality of faith within you. Baptism is set apart for breaking the power of the old spiritual pharaohs in our life and giving allegiance to Jesus and coming under the authority of his name. Baptism is sacred because it's the burial of your old life and the resurrection of the new, identifying with Jesus and proclaiming that you're united with him and his body, the church. That's why baptism is sacred. That's why it's set apart. And that's why we took time today to talk about it with you. I'd like Nate and the guys to come on up. But I just want to share one last thing here with you as they do. Baptism is not a religious act by a dead institution. It's a win. It's a win to celebrate. And it's a response to faith in Jesus. It's an act of commitment. When Jesus did it, it was his moment of going public, and I'm so glad he did. And I think he wants us to go public too. And he not only did it, but he commanded us to be baptized also. And you know, I sometimes run into people, and I know that there's different scenarios, and we all come from different backgrounds. And getting past, you know, someone who maybe had a traumatic experience in water and is afraid of water, man, Jesus understands that, all right? That's cool. But there's other moments where I run into folks, and it's just like, do I have to? And, you know, it's the whiny voice and everything. Do I have to? And I just go, you know what? Jesus died. He suffered and died and resurrected for you. And the first thing that he commanded you to do as his follower was to be baptized. And then we say, you know, I'll do anything for Jesus. And I just want to say, really? Really? Come on. This is the first thing he asks of us. Let's do it. Let's do this. What's holding us back on this? You know, when Peter first preached the gospel, and he said, and he told the crowds that were listening, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. It was not a suggestion. It was not an exception to the rule. How did they know that 3,000 people responded and were baptized and added to their number that day? I think they counted. I think they counted, and they knew who was no longer a spectator and who was now a part of the movement. You see, as part of going public, and that's what was going on with that church. There were people that were stepping across the line and saying, okay, I know I've kind of been back here, and God's been working belief in my heart, and I've kind of been kind of secret about it, but I'm stepping out now. I'm saying I'm a follower. I'm united with him, and therefore, I'm with you guys. I'm with this group called the church, the body of Christ. So today, I want to give you the chance to no longer be a spectator. I want to give you a chance to no longer delay what God desires of you to do. You can do this today if there's belief in your heart. If there's not, you know, just there's no pressure here. Wait. Okay? Don't go through the motions. Don't do that. But I just want you to know that I went out to Kmart and I bought a bunch of shorts and t-shirts that you can get wet in. I bought a bunch of, I think I got about 30 towels, and I got, you know, undergarments and all that kind of stuff, men and women. And so you can go right now. We can head over to the YMCA. Godspell crew is over there, and the place is open up. It's private. It's a private place for us to meet until 1 o'clock. And so right after this, I'm going to leave. I'm going to head over there, and you can come with me. And you can do this as an act of faith. Make it your act of faith today. All right? So we're going to stand together. We're going to sing. And if you're a believer and you haven't yet been baptized, I encourage you to do that today. Sue's going to be down here with me. And if there are children that need to respond, again, what did Jesus say? Don't hinder the children coming to me. And I know that there's some talking with parents that might need to happen, and that's cool. We'll just do this family by family basis, and we'll figure out. And you'll know, and that child will know, if they have a knowledge and understanding, they're ready, if there's faith in their heart. Everybody will know. It'll be obvious. And so we're just going to do that. So right now, we're going to stand and sing. And as this song is being sung, I want you to come down here with me and Sue if you're ready to do this act of faith. And then after that, there's going to be a time where we're going to share in communion together. There's going to be some people around the perimeter of the room holding a goblet of juice and unleavened bread that represents Christ's body and his blood. And anytime when that second song is going on, just you can go. Take that. Remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your kindness to us. Lord, we love you and we want to follow you. We want to totally be yours. And Lord, don't let us hesitate. Prompt us if we're supposed to respond to your word in this way today. In Jesus' name, amen.